Together.
For you are God. You are God. Elohim.
Ancient of days.
Ancient of days.
You reign, Lord.
Reign.
And there is none.
There is none.
Like you, Lord. For you are God, O Lord.
You are God,
Elohim.
Elohim. Ancient of days. Reign.
Yes, Lord, and there is none like you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. There is none like you, self-existing God. You're not God because we made you God. You're not God because we said you were God. You did not become God. You have always been God. There is no beginning, no ending to you. And out of you comes forth everything that is. And Father, this day we celebrate your goodness. I want to thank you for the great grace, the great privilege accorded us to be called your family. We worship you, Lord. Ancient One, we worship you. Ever-living God, we worship you. Self-existing God, we worship you. Be exalted, O God. Be exalted. Because you are the exalted one forever. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. Welcome all to the prayer service tonight. We're going to be praying through Psalm 121. And if we are able to make it, we'll go on to Psalm 112. Psalm 121. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? He's going to continue by saying, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The psalmist is looking around, is looking for help. And naturally, most gods had their temples in the high places of the mountains and the hills. Somehow it's easy for us to lose the point of what he's saying when he says to himself, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. We think he's talking about those hills. But basically what he's saying is, I have problems. I look up to those hills, but that's not where it's coming from. It's not coming from where other people try to get their help from those mountains, those hills. But my help comes from the one who made the heavens and the earth. He is bigger than that. Do you get a point? But the way it is phrased, we can easily miss the point. We think he's saying, I'm looking up to the hills. That's where my help is going to come from. No, he's saying, I look up to those hills, but that's not where it's coming from. It's coming from the one who is greater than all. Amen? It's so easy many times to look at what other people look at and say, that's what my solution is going to be. One of the things that has been a challenge for us has been in terms of the internet, Facebook, YouTube, and whatever else, is beating the algorithm and having our numbers at the right positions. And for a while, it's been a challenge, and I've been concerned about it because in real terms, the response we're getting from people outnumber the figures that we're seeing in our viewership. So I know something is wrong. I know something is wrong. And I got a call. Somebody sent me some information anyway. And said, your numbers are really low. I said, yes, they are. So I can fix it. I said, are you going to fix it? Well, I can increase your numbers, your viewership. Oh, really? Yeah, lots of people are doing that. And these are my clients. And I can actually change your numbers and you'll be in the thousands and just like that. It won't cost you that much. Yes, it's going to cost me that much. Because exactly how are you going to increase my numbers? What exactly are you going to do? Oh, your numbers are going to come from all over the world. But exactly what are you going to do? You've got another machine somewhere, some robot that's going to spike my numbers, and I'll feel good. Oh, look, we're having thousands of people. We have millions of people. I said, the problem is, I'll know that I'm paying somebody to spike my numbers. And that's not the solution. I found another solution. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on, you're not serious. If you're really serious, you will blah, blah, blah. Look at all these people, this ministry and that ministry. I'm saying, oh, really? So in the process, I saw one of the ministries that I know. So I called the person. I said, you using these people? What's going on here? Well, that's the hill. That's the hill. That's the hill that everybody or most people are using. Not everybody, but a lot of people are using those and spike their numbers so that they can have speaking engagement, so that they can have more people come to their side, so that whatever the reasons are, I don't know. But that's not for me, because that's not the truth, because I really don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're manipulating those figures, whether those numbers are real or fake. I don't know. How do I know? I have no clue. So that's not going to be my help. But I found out the truth in the Word of God that I'm going to use to change those numbers. Hallelujah. There is something I am going to do. I know what to do, and I'm going to change those numbers by the authority of the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. So, it's going to be founded on truth based on my help, comment, from the Lord. It comes from Yahweh, the one who made heaven and earth. That's where my help is going to come from. If I'm going to make it, my help is going to come from the Lord. It's not going to come from me trying to play games. I remember when I was in the States, I said, you know, at this time I was I already met Mama. God had already spoken to me about who my wife is supposed to be. But you know what? You need papers. You need papers to stay in this country. And for you to get those papers, get married to somebody. It doesn't have to be real. Just get married to somebody. You know, so you can get your papers and you can stay. Problem is, I will know that's fake. That's not the truth. And how can you be that? And someday you become known to most people and this guy was once upon a time married to so and so. And that person brings a picture and shows the picture. I was married to him. I'm the real wife. Mama is not the real wife. I'm the real wife. What are you going to do? You look to the hills, to the natural systems of what people do. You didn't look to the Lord, who created, who made the heavens and the earth. Today we're going to pray, God, deliver me from the temptation to find solutions that are not based on truth, just to satisfy my flesh, my pride, my need for success or whatever. Help me not to make wrong decisions and look for solutions where true solutions are not. Do we get that? Because it's so easy, child of God. It's so easy. Oh, I want my numbers to get up. If I didn't tell you, you would know it. I can come back here and say, praise the Lord, our numbers are up. Wow, look, we're really making it now. Praise God, hallelujah. Oh, liar, liar, liar. It's not founded on truth. It's a lie. And too many times we build our houses on sand, sinking sand, not on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. So our prayer is, God, deliver me from the temptation to sidestep, find other solutions, a plan B, C, D, whatever it is, and forget that you are the beginning and the end, the only solution that I need, and that I be faithful to knowing that you are my God. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God, deliver me from the temptation to find solutions not based on truth, Remind us that you are the only solution we need. Amen? That's a very important prayer to pray. Because it's so easy to slide, whether it's backwards or forwards or sideways, to slide. Because life can be slippery. But the Word of God says, He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved, slide in this way or that way. He will not suffer or allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Amen? The God who keeps me will not slumber. He will not doze. Praise God. You know, you can miss a lot of things when you doze, when you're slumbering. You can miss a lot of stuff. A lot of things can happen while you... You're looking. Missed whatever it is that's happening. Because you're slumbering. When you're slumbering, that's when you snore. Have you ever been, people say, you're snoring, and you say, I wasn't snoring. I'm wide awake. I could hear everything. I could hear you. Let me tell you what you were saying. Well, you were slumbering and snoring. But our God doesn't do that. He says, He will not allow thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. In other words, I am committed, I'm watching every step you take to make sure you don't slide. We're going to take this as a promise from God and declare it by confession. Thank you, Father, that you neither slumber nor sleep. You are watching over every step I take to make sure I don't take the wrong steps. Amen? It's important that God be the one who keeps us and causes us not to slumber. That He is Shammah, the present one who guards, who hedges around us, making certain that we don't slip and fall. And the assurance we have that that is going to be the case, that we need us slip or fall, is that He's watching. He's watching over my steps. He's watching. And when it is a difficult place, He bears me up and carries me so I don't fall. Let us pray. Thank God for the protection that He gives us, that we do not fail, we do not fall, because He's watching over everything that we do. Pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that grace is sufficient for my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. He says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Those are two levels. When you're slumbering, you are quarter to sleep. When you're sleeping, you're really sleeping. You lose natural consciousness or awareness of your environment. The God we serve is not going to doze off. He's not going to nod off. He's not going to slumber. And he's not going to go to sleep. And he is our keeper. Praise the Lord. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Put your name there. Behold, he that keepeth Michael, Ephesino, shall neither slumber nor sleep. And this is affirming once again that our feet will not trip, slide, will not fall, because he's our keeper. Amen? He's my keeper. Somebody say, the Lord is my keeper. He is the hedge and the guard around my life. Amen. That word shamar means protector. It means a hedge. It means one who takes heed, looks carefully at your situation. He observes you. He's watching over you. And he's not going to slumber, and he's not going to sleep. Praise the Lord. You know, you have your laptop or computer, and if you've not fooled around with it for a while, it might go to sleep. God doesn't sleep. He's watching over me. He's watching over you. And we should take that as a committed promise from God. Not just as a promise, this is what I am not going to do. I am not going to sleep. That's a promise. But as a matter of fact, that is who he is. He does not sleep. So he cannot promise you not to sleep, because he cannot sleep. Hello? That makes sense? He cannot sleep. That is his character. He cannot lie. That is his character. He's not like, I'm going to make sure I don't lie to you. I promise you I won't lie to you. That means there's a possibility that you can lie to me. But when God says, I don't lie, I can't lie, that's exactly what it means. It would be totally out of character for God to sleep, for God not to watch over you, for God not to be your good shepherd. So this prayer is going to be, Father, be in full character, in the fullness of your person, as you watch, protect, guide, hedge, provide for me. That makes sense? All right, let's pray that prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You know, the word of God says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In essence, in that prayer that the Lord led us to pray, taught us to pray, he said, God, if you know there's going to be temptation over there that's going to trick me, divert me from it. Praise the Lord. I want to live a temptation-free life. Hello. Because God doesn't tempt us with evil. So why don't I pray? Why don't you pray, Lord, let me live a temptation-free life. Is it possible that many times we shortchange ourselves when he's already given us the answer? This is how I want you to pray. Give me a temptation-free life. So our prayer focus now is, Lord, give me a temptation-free life. Hallelujah. Let me never be tempted at any level. Because before the temptation comes, the provision is there. Therefore, I'm not tempted. I am fully satisfied with where I am, what I'm doing, and therefore not tempted. Amen? Give me, Father, give me a temptation-free life. Let's pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Verse continues, and again it says to us, the Lord is thy keeper. Now, let's just go from the beginning and count how many times it's used the word keeper or keep or any of that. And let's just see how many times we see that word. Starting from verse 3, he that keepeth thee, that's 1. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, that's 2. The Lord is thy keeper, that's 3. Shema, Shema, Shema. So that's the main thrust of this whole psalm. God is my keeper. He's watching. Watch over me, Lord. I recognize that your eyes are on me, watching over me. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. I'm not very good at my Hebrew pronunciations, but this word here is the word saleh, just like you have the word sail, but with a T at the beginning of it. And it's a word that signifies that God is a shade, he is a shadow. Basically, he is protecting you from the intensity of the heat. Hallelujah. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The right hand is the right hand of authority and power. And basically, what the word of God is saying is, I am there to make sure you don't overheat. Praise the Lord. I'm there to make sure that you cool while you are engaged with the authority of God moving in your life. That there's calmness, there's coolness, there's no overheating. Because I'm the shade upon thy right hand. But it also signifies that the Lord is the hand that's upon your hand. So, in that sense, things are happening, but it's happening because of Him doing things in you and through you. So the actual doing is the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you can think of it this way, you have one of these bikes that has two riders on it. And you've got the person in front or in the back, whichever position they take, but they are the ones who are really doing the pedaling. And your feet are just in the pedal, and you think you're doing the pedaling, but they are the ones really doing the pedaling. That's a shade on your right hand. It looks like you're pedaling, but they're really doing the pedaling. You're just enjoying the grace of participation. Hallelujah. We're going to ask God, be my strength, be my grace, be my shade, be the doer of your will in me and through me. Because it's so easy. I said that earlier, I know what to do about what I've been concerned about with the algorithms. I know what to do to change it. That is true. But no matter what I think I know, if God doesn't do it, it will not happen. It doesn't matter how many things I quote and how many things I say. Ultimately, it's the doing of the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. But I know the principle to connect with, just like the Lord says, if you have God's kind of faith, you say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. But it is, have faith in God. Yeah? That's the foundation. So you can say whatever it is you want to say, but if your faith is not in God, it's not going to happen. But if you have faith in God and you say nothing, nothing will happen either. So if you want to enjoy the ride, get on the bike. He will do the pedaling, you'll enjoy the bliss of movement. So we are going to ask God to be everything that we need to be fully satisfied. Amen? And then let's just add this. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Why? He is the shade. So we are going to thank God for the grace of ease. Put it again, the grace of ease. E-A-S-E, ease. To accomplish His divine will. The grace of ease is what happened to me when I was in India many years ago, and it was time for me to pray for the sick, and the Lord says, it's testimony time. I don't need your prayers. And miracles were happening, and I had nothing to do with it. That's the grace of ease. The foolishness of this story, of that particular experience, was after I'd gone through that experience, I told God, I said to God, God, I don't want a healing ministry. Why don't you want a healing ministry? Because it's too stressful. They want me to perform. Oh, so you don't want a healing ministry. You know the mistake? The mistake was I flipped from knowing that God was the one doing it to thinking that I was the one doing it. And anytime you think you're the one doing it, you won't carry the pressure. It will kill you. So I took the pressure off and reckoned, if anybody gets healed here today, praise the Lord, hallelujah. If nobody gets healed, okay, nobody got healed. That doesn't make me a better minister or a worse minister. Oh, if only you had more faith, there'll be more miracles. No, 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 no. It is His faith, by His faith. If He didn't do it, I'm not going to make it happen. Praise God. I'm going to relax. The grace of ease. Let us pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. What a powerful psalm. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Again, the Lord said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God is saying to us in this psalm, that's what God will do. He shall preserve thy soul. He preserves my soul. So that my soul doesn't sin. The Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. But God is going to preserve my soul. So no matter what is happening, I am being kept. I'm being preserved. That word preserved here is the same word keep it. It's the same word, Shema. So fourth and fifth time, he said, keep it, keep it, keep it. Now he goes and says, preserve, preserve. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore, from this time forth. So there was a starting point. To live a temptation-free life, there was a starting point. To live the life of ease, there was a starting point. And tonight is a starting point for the proclamations of every word of God found in this psalm, in your life and in my life. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. So let us declare together that this day is the starting point, the beginnings of this evil-free, temptation-free, damage-free life. Hallelujah. Anything that is going to be a temptation, out of the way. The Lord watching. The Lord watches to make sure that I don't go there. If financial problems are going to be a temptation for me, no financial problem. Hallelujah. If sickness and disease is going to be a problem, no sickness or disease. Because God is watching. This is hyper grace in the proper order. Amen? Not foolishness, but the grace of God watching to protect me from any and every harm. Praise God. From this time forth and forevermore, I receive your protection from all evil. We got it? Let's pray it. Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. Well, I said we're going to go to Psalm 112. It's a little bit challenging to do so at this point. But let me say this. In the natural, we need some level of resistance to be stronger. That makes sense? But that is not true of the spirit, in the realm of the spirit. In the natural, the more wind, the more exposure a plant has to the outside elements, the stronger that plant is going to be. So house plants are not as tough as plants. Even if it's the same species, same plant, planted inside the house and outside, the one outside is going to be stronger and tougher because of all the stuff happening to it. However, in the realm of the Spirit, the joy of the Lord is my what? Amen. Praise God. So, we don't need, when we talk about a temptation-free life, that does not mean we are going to live a weak, pathetic life because there's no challenge. We don't need evil in heaven to be strong in the Lord. Yeah? Okay. So, it is a celebration of the goodness of God that continually strengthens us. So this last prayer is going to be this: Lord, help me to live a life of celebration, celebrating your goodness all of my days. Pray. Thank you, Father, for the grace to celebrate your goodness, to celebrate your faithfulness, to celebrate your joy, to celebrate, O God, your awesomeness. Lord of God, that daily I am strengthened, I'm living like heaven in the earth, in the mighty name of Jesus, living like heaven in the earth, living like heaven in the earth, living like heaven in the earth. For heaven to live a life of celebrating your goodness all of my days, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let us quickly look at Psalm 112. What a good setup from the last prayer point. It says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The one who praises, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Now, that word for seed there is addressing your children, but it's also addressing the seed as in things that you sow, whether it's your finances, whatever. It says it's going to be mighty upon the earth. And it says the generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Who is this person? The person that Bible says here, blessed is the man. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. This person, his wealth and riches are going to be in his house. It says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. This is God not wanting, remember, he's your keeper. He's not wanting you to stumble. The one who has no light in himself stumbleth. But God says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. If you're going into a dark place, light comes on. You know, it's like having settings in your path, you know, going to your house or whatever, and as you're walking, the lights come on so that you're not in the dark. Well, why? He's gracious and full of compassion and righteous. That is that person, but it's also true of the God that he's serving. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. We talked about that. We prayed that already. Why? God is watching over him. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. Why? Because God is watching over him. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Why? Because God is watching over him. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. Hallelujah. He shall not be afraid until he sees his eye upon his enemies. He had dispersed, he had given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. We're going to spend time on this some other day, but for today, let us pray three quick, committed, focused prayers. First one, we're going to declare from verse 3, wealth and riches. Are in my house. Wealth and riches are in my house. That's this house, and the house that you came from. In other words, everywhere that is your habitation, wealth and riches will be there. You're surrounded by it. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's the first thing we are going to pray. And then second thing connected to that, light is rising up for me so that I never walk in darkness. Amen? Praise the Lord. That will be verse 4. Let us pray. Next verse says that the man that has this grace upon his life is a lender and one who gives favor. We're going to declare, one, that we have the capacity to lend because we are head and not tail. Hallelujah. We're going to declare that our hearts are established and we see the demise of every enemy. The demise of every enemy, whatever form that enemy takes, we see the demise of every enemy. He says, our heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. What is the enemy's plan? That you don't have to lend and you don't have to disperse abroad. That you're limited in your capacity. But the word of God goes on and says, he had dispersed, he had given to the poor, His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. Praise God. So the third part to this prayer point, as we wrap, is God, cause my enemies to be grieved because they see my rising and cannot stop it. Amen? They see my rising and they cannot stop it. There's nothing they can do to stop it. They've tried, they tried, they tried, but they cannot stop it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let us wrap up tonight praying for the service that we're going to be coming to this Sunday, that the Lord will meet with us here. You know, the word says, in the day of his power, the people will be willing. In the day of his power, the people will be willing. Somebody sent me something recently, and it's been in the news, not in Canadian news, but in the news down south. I actually did see it also in on Fox News. There's a university in Kentucky. Huh? Yes. They came for their regular prayer meeting 2 Wednesdays ago, I believe it was. Normally it takes an hour. And God showed up. And the prayer meeting has not stopped for well over a week. It's not stopped. That's God's power coming down. Praise the Lord. You know, God has been speaking to us about this move of God. And we need that right here in our city, in our province. People are coming from Singapore, they're coming from the Philippines, they're coming from all kinds of places to go to this school. Participate. You know, I was watching, I watched the video that was sent to me, and there wasn't anything really remarkable that you can talk about. And it just seemed like, okay, well, what, why are people coming here? Because God doesn't have to be flamboyant when he's doing what he's doing. Is this working and drawing people? just drawing people, generating a thirst and a desire and a hunger for Him. Hallelujah. And you don't have to do anything fancy. My prayer is that nobody will mess with that thing. Yeah, it's true, people still have to go to their classes because they've been in a Bible college, so to speak. They still have to write their exams and whatever else, and so on and so forth. But nobody mess with that thing. Let God keep on building it and let it spread like wildfire. Praise God. Let it just spread and keep on spreading and keep on spreading, because our help comes from the Lord. Amen? You know, when we look in the natural and what's happening in the natural, man, there's nothing you can do to stop this mess, this nonsense that's going on in the world. But God can stop it. God can give us time. And let's just pray. God, pour grace upon us. Let it be the day of your power. Let your people be willing. Let it happen for us. Because we recognize that it is not our doing. It is all yours. And the credit is all yours. All the glory, all the honor, all the praise, all the adoration is yours. It is not because of our fancy preaching or teaching or prophetic words or whatever else. It's just all about you. Amen? Let's ask God for that. And as we come this Sunday, it's all about Him. And I believe we sing a song like that. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. Jesus, you're the center of it all. Amen? Let's pray. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. I don't know if Sister Lindsay can play it for us. If you know the song, Jesus, You're the Center of It All. Do you know it? Jesus, You're the Center of It All. No? If you don't remember it, that's fine. We've never played it here? Oh, yeah. In Toronto, that's where I hear it all the time with Minister Colette. All right. Well, praise God. Anyhow, the Lord has been with us, has led us tonight in our time of prayer and intercession. May all of your needs, all of my needs, all of our needs be met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. May the God who gives us a temptation-free life, because He watches over us and keeps us, may the fulfillment of that word be true henceforth. and forevermore. That we'll walk as head and not tail, above only and not beneath. That we'll continue to enjoy the goodness of the Lord all of our days and be a testament of His goodness in our going out and in our coming in. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to mention that the special meeting in the nation that God has opened for us, even though we've had mega challenges, in every way possible that you can think of it, there's been a challenge. But it is open, and we'll go in there, and we're going to accomplish the purpose of God. Amen? We need lots of finances. Would you believe it? Just trying to get just one ticket. One, not two, one. Can you guess how much you're asking for one ticket? 5,000? Not even close. Times it almost 3 times. One ticket. Well, that's where God wants us to go. So we're going to figure it out. And it's going to be done. So if God speaks to you to give, well, let me back up. I got a ticket way less than that. But we do need the provisions of the Lord. Because I believe that with the kind of fight that the enemy has put on this particular trip, I've never had that kind of a challenge anywhere. This was the nation that for the first time denied me entrance to that nation. But God broke it wide open and applied for a visa. Took 2 months. 2 months for them to finally say yes. Normally it takes 7 days. The Lord showed me what to do. And I taught it to you here last week. Open. And I'm glad to say to you that it opened. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll turn off. Well, bless you. Is there anybody on Zoom? I bless you all. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And we'll see you on Sunday. God bless.